Vishakam Vitam Vitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sri Devi Pranamami Hari Vrim Namo Mahavatanaya Krishna Prema Parayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha Namaha
Krishna, I would like to welcome you all affectionately here in the valley of Giriraj. I do want to just, before I start, make a cautionary remark. The sun is quite intense, Tivrena, and you might like to do something to cover your head. You will see the wisdom of this. Please believe me, it is, you think of what is the difficulty, it was so cold, now it's so warm, it is very pleasant, yes, everywhere else than on the head, so please be mindful of that. I would like to start by offering my most respectful obeisances to all of you. Please join me. Vanshakalpa Tarubhyasya Kipa Sindhu Bhayevacha Vajitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. It is especially my great happiness to address you today, because I will be talking about something that is very dear to my own heart and my own practice. And do you know how you feel when you introduce your best friend to your other friends? You just hope that the other friends will like your best friend also. And you feel very afraid that they don't like him. Maybe they don't like his haircut or the way he speaks and so on. So I'm sharing with you with the same inner trepidation the subject matter of Bhajan Rahasya. Bhajan Rahasya is a work that describes the distinctive knowledge which is revealed by the Guru to his most faithful disciples. That's how Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describes it. My dear devotees, there are subject matters in our movement that need to be revealed to us. And our qualification is required at that time. Perhaps faith is the qualification that is most urgently called for, because there will be some subjects which we don't understand with our present mind. Why is it confidential? Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a hint of his own Bhajan to teach by his example. I once heard an account of a contemporary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In fact, it was a neighbor of his who would hear him chanting. You must know that in Gotaram Dweep, in the personal private home of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had embedded in the architecture a small room, only this wide, where he would chant in seclusion. But when he would get tired, he would get out in the morning. He chanted early in the morning. He started at 3:36, as we can understand. He was there. When he would get tired, he would go down the steps of his own house. You can imagine the Thakur in great absorption of the holy name, or perceiving the form of Krishna and the qualities and what he would do at that time in his inner vision. And he would make his way to a cement chair. What this is bricks. They are brought together by mortar, and it's covered with cement, and it captures the coolness or coldness of the night. So he would sit there on this cold chair, you would say, and he would continue to chant there. His neighbor recounted that as he was listening from the other side of the boundary wall, he would have the impression that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was calling someone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Yes, very different from your chanting. Really calling, a call from his heart to Radha and Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his own son, was sometimes there when the sadhu, when his father chanted, and he recounted later, I observed him personally, and what I saw is that he recited the verse says from his own composition, the Bhajan Rahasya, in between his own his Naam Bhajan, and he relished them profoundly. And as he relished these shlokas, he became inspired and transcendental love of God. I see some of you in the back. I'm not sure. Do you hear my voice? Lakshmi Moni, is it you? Wonderful, Lakshmi Moni. It is audible? Is it good audible? Good. Fine. The book he composed, which is known as Bhajan Rahasya, this confidential teaching which is given by the Guru to faithful disciples, has been translated in the early days in our movement, but as I found out, only a very quick translation had been done. Later I found this book in the bookshelf of another spiritual Gaudiya tradition, and I studied it because I was so intrigued. And I also found out that a very hasty job had been done. Then by some grace, I met a nectar collector who had an accurate translation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's work, which is quite interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts each of the eight sections of the day with a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita in which he sees esoteric secrets hidden. You will hear about what he sees in these verses a little later. And then he gives verses that explain various aspects of Mahaprabhu's teachings on the holy name. And he always, and that's very important, prefaces this verses with headings and little descriptions why this verse is at this place. You begin to become privy of his personal ecstasies. Then he gives a Bengali rendition of each single verse where he fluffs out the meaning a little bit more. For instance, today we heard about six items that perfect our chanting from this book. No, he quoted a verse. Do you remember the first item which you have practiced today?
Controlling mind.
Yeah, but he adds to repeatedly bring the mind back, and then he adds and to chant this holy name with affectionate respect. That is adara. This word adara comes in Rupa Goswami's scripture, the Upadeshamrita, where he says, if you want to chant, you need to do two things. You need to chant very regularly, and you need to chant in a certain mood, the adara, the affectionate respect. This word adara appears again and again, and in my opinion, it's the key for chanting, but many translators have chosen to ignore this word and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts it right into his gloss on the verse of Mantra Navar. What I want to get here is he gives personal instructions from his own realization, which are often based on his vast study of the Gaudiya Vaishnav literature. And then at the very end of each section, he carefully guides us into how we can chant and practice Smaranam of Radha and Krishna. To put it in simple words, is he tells us how to chant and be mindful of the person whose name we chant. It's no longer a mechanic chanting. Tapanavish. You have been overcome by sleep. I was in the same boat this morning. But I heard everything. Something in my dream. But so this is a little bit what he describes in this work. My dear devotees, if you wish to relish this work, if you wish to enter this verse, this book, as a guideline of Gaudiya Bhajan, it is not done by note-taking. It is done by regular practice. It is ultimately done by doing something else. Once Vamsidas Babaji, have you heard this name? Vamsidas Babaji, famous Shiksha Guru of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, was asked, how do we obtain Krishna? At that time, Vamsidas Babaji was in an other consciousness, not in the external consciousness where his senses were engaging with the world. His spiritualized senses he was engaging with his deities. So he didn't answer. The second day, the same men came with big bags of sabji, put them before the saint and said, I have a question, how do we obtain God? Bhaktisiddhanta looked at him and didn't see him. He looked at something else at that time. The third day, the same man came again with Sabjis. And before he spoke, Bhaktisiddhanta said, you had a question? Yes. Baba Maharaj, how do we obtain Krishna? Bhaktisiddhanta looked at him and said, cry. C-R-Y. That was the answer. Now you can put that in your notebook, but it will not help you very much because it is a very confidential, esoteric subject which comes only when the heart is purified and when you cry for Krishna. I think some of you have done so. That is the price. Your tears are the price. So yeah, then why do I talk about this work? My dear devotees, we need to know about these so that we have goals to strive for in our lives, so that our lives don't become constricted at the levels where we are, and that we become distracted in search of a taste. We become distracted to material things. We need to know about it. And by the way, the Bhajan Rahasya can be practiced by everyone, because it, on one level, it talks about very profound fundamental truth. But then, as if you read the whole book and the whole chapter, it talks about the same truth on different levels. Let me give you an answer. Someone comes to a kirtan leader and says, your kirtan was very nice. And the kirtan leader asks, what was nice about it? And he said, the answer might be your choice of melody. That is one appreciation of kirtan, the melody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We say in German language, das ist ein Ohrenwurm. Means this is an earworm. It just eats, it just goes into you. Someone else might come to the kirtan leader and said, the kirtan which you led was extremely nice for me. And the kirtan leader asks back, what did you like about the kirtan? And the person says, I was reminded of Srila Prabhupada because you chose the Prabhupada melody. It is a genuine appreciation of the kirtan. Still another person might come to the kirtan and say, it was a wonderful kirtan. And the kirtan leader asked the same question, what did you like? Well, for the first time in my life, I understood what it means to be separated from Krishna. And when I was chanting in this kirtan, I called out to Krishna. This is another dimension. It's the same kirtan, but we have different levels of appreciation. In the same way, this book can be appreciated on many levels, and it is useful and wonderful for all of you. This is the reason. Are you interested in Krishna consciousness, if I may ask?
Yes.
Why? Someone said, then I become happy. It's one level. Is there another reason why you are interested? I'm sorry to ask these super simple and super deep questions. Ask yourself, why am I interested in this? And you would say, the answer is not a quick Haribol. You have to think about it. What fascinates me? Second question, are you interested in progress in Krishna consciousness? do you want changes to happen in your Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
Now I will ask you a very difficult question. Do you want to change? That was a quick answer. Have you thought about the answer? Changes we all want. But do we want to change? I once had a huge audience before me, and I asked, so who of you would, you all agree the world is heading towards problematic trouble. Who wants changes? Everyone went, wow, this, yes. Then I said, and who of you wants to change? Because changes only happen if you change. Lens disappeared. The Haribos died from the lips. So this, my dear devotees, is highly interested for those of us who want to have progress. Now, in his Sharanagati song composition, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how the change we aspire for can be done by chanting the holy name. And he will take up this subject, that the chanting is the main process of progress, later in the Bhajan Rahasya. What he says is, Premala kalika nama adbhutara sera dama hena bolo koraye prakas. Nice. The holy name is like a bud, a flower bud, not yet developed in the beginning. It is full of many, many tastes. See, this rose, it used to be a rosebud, and already the fragrance, which we all appreciate so much, was captured and held in the hands of the bud, like this. So this is how the holy name is. It hides at the beginning its transcendental mellows. This holy name manifests so much transcendental power. When it starts to reveal itself, it shows me its own spiritual form and attributes. It steals my mind and takes me right to Krishna's side. So this is amazing. The bud, when it opens, stops to be a flower. It becomes Krishna, who is there in this form and in his qualities. And the holy name then abducts me or kidnaps me or brings me to his spiritual realm. What is happening in that? What is happening further? When the holy name is fully revealed, it takes me directly to Braj, where it shows me my personal role in the eternal pastimes. It shows me, you are this, and there is no doubt. It shows me the perfected spiritual identity. It's called the Siddhadeya. The holy name bestows on me my eternal spiritual identity and form, and places me by Krishna's side and completely destroys this material body. So this happens when you chant in a certain way the holy name, which Rupa Goswami reveals in his Upadeshamrita. Would you like to know that special kind of chanting?
Tanna marupa charitadi
sukirtananu smriti yokramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan braje tadanuragi jananugami kalam nayet akilamit yupadesha saram. This verse talks about the upadeshasaram, the essence of all the instructions you can obtain in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It first answers the question, where should one live? In New York, Alachua, Amsterdam, perhaps, Mumbai. No, not Mumbai, that has terrible air pollution. So, where should one live? The answer is given, Tishtan Raje. You should stay in Vrindavan. Now, when I heard this first, where should I live? I said, well, Rupa Goswami, I don't think I could stay in the summer in Vrindavan, because it gets so cold that you can only either live under a shower or AC, but AC kills my lungs. So then I was very happy to read later in Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana Etika by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says if it's physically not possible, one should live in the mind in Vrindavan. This is very nice. Look around, my dear devotees. Some of our trees have shed the leaves because it's winter time and they want to sprout new leaves, but you will agree with me, this is a nice place, no? That's very, very good. When you are not able to be here, when you are in the West and so on, you can live in Vrindavan in your mind. Many devotees have taken snapshots of Vrindavan and put them in their apartment to be reminded. Other devotees, how to live in the mind is very, very easy. I remember once when Prabhupada visited us in Germany, Prabhupada had a little red songbook like this. It was only this big. And he said, tomorrow we will record a long playing record. It became the record called Krishna Meditation. You can find them in our ISKCON market, these records or CDs or ISKCON Desire Tree and so on. And we quickly made a room like a recording studio. I remember we took these paper things we sound isolated it very cheaply. But it worked. And then Prabhupada went in and he opened his little songbook. He had his harmonium. And he started to sing Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Si Govinda Gopinata Madana Mohan. Now, if you want to live in Vrindavan in your mind or touch the Dham in your mind, when you sing this particular song, it is isolated from all other songs, you go mentally to the places. We can try this in a moment. We will sing Syama Kunda, Radha Kunda, or is it Radha Kunda, Syama? Radha Kunda, Syama. Syama Kunda, Radha Kunda. Then, Giri Govardhan. Kalindi. Who is Kalindi?
Yamuna.
Kalindi. Jaya. What is Mahavan? It's the forest of Vrindavan, the greatest forest, no? So now I request you to sing along with us, and we sing very slowly, and in your mind, while you sing, bring an image of Shyamakund, Radhakund, for the one with Giri Govardhan. You can just look there, and then you can do it, no? Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kali like this particular song is meant for staying or remembering Vrindavan, and if you go through it, you can be in Vrindavan in your mind. And my dear devotees, it will have an effect. The man knows this in an embarrassing way. If you happen to dream of an undressed lady in the night, it has an effect on you, no? Everyone looks. This is normal when you're young. It stops when you're old, you know. Or the same holds for mental images have a very distinct effect. Now, if you have a mental image of Vrindavan, my dear devotees, how positive this effect is. So therefore, the Acharya says, Tishtan Vraje, one should live in Vrindavan. Second point is, you should, in steps, the easy step is first, the difficult step comes second. Engage first your body, and then your mind, in glorifying the beautiful name and form of Krishna. What this means, you engage your body, you take your tongue and your ear, and you sit in kirtan, chanting the beautiful name, like you have done and like we will do a little bit more. And as you do this, where you just engage your body, you go one step further. Remember, this is about progressing, and that is done in steps. You use your mind, actually, to also think, to be there in the kirtan. Then you go actually further with your mind. This is the third step. Anugami jana tat anuragi. It means one should become a devout follower of the devotees in Braj. These are like Sridham, Sudham, and so on. Because they show you how to do service to Radha and Krishna that is pleasing. This is known in England as learning by looking over the shoulder of Nelly. Nelly is the grandmother. Or in Prabhupada's language, do as I do. No, so we approach Radha and Krishna by looking at the examples that the great devotees give, the realized devotees. We have here our Govardhan Retreat Center, and our first devotee who was here and who built all this is our Vrindavan Vinod. Now he has two assistants, and one assistant you have seen is Krishna Murari. he is more the Brahminical person who gives many presentations by now to visiting groups. But he has a younger brother who's more like the manager. Have you seen Ankit? And he is learning from Vrindavan Vinod. He eats with Vrindavan Vinod. When a difficult decision is to be made, that so-and-so doesn't like the room, he wants to go in another room, then how to navigate this, that everyone is satisfied, also the occupant of the other room. When the mafia comes and wants to take all the land away from us, then Ankit comes with Vrindavan Vinod, and here's how Vrindavan Vinod says, "Chalo!" Takes a stone, because that's how you deal with the... And Ankit learns, okay, when mafia comes, I will say, I don't need to do it, no? And take the stone, no? This is called learning by seeing an example. It is very, very prominent in old cultures. This is here in, you know, the young boys come into the shop of their fathers and they look how the father sells various items and they grow into it. And then the father at the end just sits there and watches his son doing everything, and then he thinks, now I can peacefully die. It is in good hands. They have understood. So, this gives you an idea. You hear how Madhu Mangal deals with Krishna, how Yashoda Mai deals with Krishna, and in all the rasas, how these exemplars deal with them, and then you actually enter this the thing. This, my dear devotee, is something which you learn at the end of each section of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya. When you hear about the Leela, and when you hear, here comes the English word, about the exemplars, exemplary role models, and you become interested in this. Prabhupada makes an interesting purport. He says, when you hear Krishna Leela, and for instance like the Kaliya Leela, where you hear devotees in all rasas dealing with Krishna, the cowherd boys, they come with Krishna to the Yamuna, and you know, they cheer him up when he is fighting with Kaliya, and when he stays for 48 long minutes in the embrace of Kaliya, the cowherd boys faint. And then after 48 minutes, Krishna will say to Kaliya, okay, you have shown me now some of your you have shown me your strengths. Now I will show you some of my strengths. And he bursts the deadly embrace of Kaliya open, and then the cowboy boys get up, Gopal, and they shout. So someone may hear this and think, wow, wonderful, how they love Krishna, how they live with Krishna. Or he may hear how the cowherd boys, I like this very, very much, this particular snippet, they go with Krishna in the forest of the Vrindavan, and then a breeze comes, just like the breeze which came just now, no, the breeze, and Krishna's dhoti is moved first, and then it blows up. Don't worry, I have my full dhoti here. And exposes the leg of Krishna. So the cowherd boys see the beautiful leg of Krishna. Can you imagine how fascinating his, you know, from the foot, then his, here this part, what is it called? That part. Chin, yeah, the chin. And then the knee, my dear devotees, the knee of Krishna. And the cowherd boys are totally fascinated and say, look at the beauty of Krishna's leg from the foot to the knee. let's have a festival and celebrate this. So you laugh like you have laughed now and think, wow, they're so dear to Krishna. They're so close to Krishna. I feel very attracted to hear more about their relationship and so on. And this holds true in all the other rasas, no? So this is how a devotee approaches Krishna. Now, we get serious. Are you ready, my dear devotees?
Yes.
This is the progressive path given by Srila Rupa Goswami, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur includes, of course, in his work. He will chant this, he will sing it, he will feel ecstasy. And then he says something which for me, it's just our Hariprasad said yesterday, oops, the real experience of Krishna is a certain effect. You remember vow, no? Vow. In Sanskrit, that's shamatkar, great astonishment. You know, Krishna has this feature. So I hope to share something with you which will give you Krishna. It's really something very special. Are you ready?
Yes.
My dear devotees, in the first section of Bhajan Rahasya, I can give you the Sanskrit so that you feel happiness in your heart. It's a Pratamayama Sadhana, the first division of the day, and the Sadhana which you practice there. It's a Sadhana on the level of faith. Yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduces us to a very interesting take, his own deep insights about the progressive journey of a spiritual life. Any one of you has any idea, it's from Rupa Goswami, where do you start and where do you end? From Shraddha to Prema, no? You have visited perhaps these well-given seminars in the past. Everything starts from faith. That faith is born in the association of devotees. So Vishwanath says, we could also say everything starts from an initial sadhu sangha, initial. And then you go through the eight divisions. You go from faith to devotional practice. No, from faith to sadhu sangha to devotional practice. Then something happens. Your anattas go. Yesterday, Indra Dumna Maharaj shared with us. Prabhupada said this color means fire, the fire that burns the anattas. My dear brahmacharis, don't become proud now. You have to make realize this, you know. There will be an disappearance of all these unwanted things, and then we move on to steadiness, and finally we arrive in the higher echelons of devotional service. You have heard this in many, many lectures. I will not repeat it in this way as you have heard it. I will repeat it in a way you have never heard it and never thought it's possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, quotes one verse where Krishna talks to Arjuna. Yena janma shatai purvam vasudeva samachita tanmuke harinamani sadatish tanti bharata. In this verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, don't be impatient on your spiritual path. You have to be prepared to be a little patient. It might take some time before you reach the ultimate perfection. He says, O Bharata, that's the name for Arjuna, only a person who has worshipped Lord Vasudev for hundreds of lifetimes always has the Lord's holy names on his lips. In other words, the Lord says, listen, Arjuna, you need to really invest your time in worshipping Vasudev. It might take another burst and yet another burst and then still another burst, and then you can come to this place of Ruchi, where you always chant out of deep abiding taste. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur will say, no, it doesn't have to take 100 lives. In his mind, there are two things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared and made it very easy for the conditioned souls. And he has also another thing in his mind. If you learn how to chant properly, which he is explaining throughout this book, then it can go very brief. And now his surprising statement. When you chant Hare Krishna, how many pairs of names are there? Who knows? Pairs of names. 8 pairs of names. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare.
Each one of these pairs has a message for us. The first pair of Hare Krishna, the first pair, Hare Krishna, means the destruction of ignorance and the chanting of Krishna's holy names with faith. So when you chant in the Hare Krishna mantra, it's so powerful that the first pair means your ignorance is destroyed and the holy names of Krishna are chanted with faith. Then the second pair. Ara Hare Krishna Nama Krishna Sarva Shakti. Remember this word, Sarva Shakti, all Shaktis. Sadhu Sange Nama Shraye Bhajananurakti. The second pair, Hare Krishna, means that Krishna's name is invested with all potencies, Shaktis, yes. Like, what is the king of Krishna's Shaktis? Yes, you have it. Actually, all what you say is correct. It's some of you say Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees. It's his Kripa Shakti, someone has said here. No? That is the emperor over all of Krishna's energy. An emperor in India used to rule over many kings. Kings, there were kingdoms of very small dimensions, from here to Vrindavan and around that distance, 24 kilometers in worldly estimation, that would be a kingdom in the old times. But all these small time kings had to report to the emperor, and whatever decisions they made, for instance, when they said the mangoes which have fallen from your tree, Mr. Farmer, on the land of your neighbor, that are his mangoes. If the farmer didn't like that his mangoes which had fallen on another property where belonging now to his neighbor, he could go to the higher the instance, and if the higher instance would decide, no, the mangoes which have fallen from your tree, although they landed on the other properties, they are technically from your tree, who is on your property, then therefore they are your mangoes. You follow? Emperor can overrule decisions. I don't know if they made such village decisions, but just an idea, no? An idea. So the emperor of Krishna, of all of Krishna's potencies, is his mercy. His mercy can overrule disqualifications and so on. Oh, Hare Krishna, Haribo, Maharaji, we should offer a good seat for our Maharaji. Yes? Good, good, good. This is the quality of an emperor. He can overrule everything else. So Krishna's mercy is there. Krishna, and it can overrule your disqualification. It can overrule even the statement of the Shastras that it takes usually hundreds of lifetimes until you have that exalted state of Nam, Nishta, Nam, Ruchi, Nam, Ashakti, Nam, Bhava, and Prema, you know, and so on. So, but this works only, he says, on the second level, with which the second pair of names gives, one becomes attached to bhajan by taking shelter of the holy names in the association of saintly devotees. Have you noticed this? When we go to any guided japa session and we all chant together and we give our best, have you noted how it carries you on? And you tend to chant better? Yes. So then he continues, by advancing along this progressive path of bhajans, everything happens. And I will not go now into the details because we might forget, and it is important for me to just get to a certain point. You will actually, by the chanting, go to all different levels of spiritual understanding, and already in the fifth pair of chanting, that is the first Hare Rama, Hare Rama, you can become acquainted with what here in Vrindavan and in Navadvip is talked about by the Gaudiyas who are not in our movement. That is, what is my spiritual form? No? He says, with the fifth pair, as one's taste for chanting increases, but attains an attitude of pure servitor, and as one chants Hare Rama, this is the fifth, one should take up the practice of Smaranam. I'm sorry, it's not here. It comes later, what I said, no? So, with the eighth pair of chanting, one is fixed in his identity of a gopi in Vrindavan, attaining the ultimate goal of service to the divine couple Radha and Krishna. My point, you don't need to remember this, because this is needs to be revealed to you. What you need to remember, however, is when you that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's sadhan krama, the steps in the sadhan, happen by chanting the holy name with affectionate respect and according to the directions of the acharyas. This is his process, and this is Srila Prabhupada's process. It's the process of not mental constructions where you think about things and make a nice intellectual understanding of things. This is also valuable at times, but it's a process of a revelation. I would like to give you an example. When you get into a train, The train takes you forward to wherever you need to go. It's the train, not your own effort, which brings you forward. You only need to stay in the train. Now, I like His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj for making difficult concepts so super simple. Clear, I wanted to say. He said, I have sat down for kirtan. I have entered the train. And I have booked my place in the train, and the train will bring me now. All I have to do now is to get into the rhythm of the train. I have to stay in the train. I can't, in other words, jump out of the window if I want to go. This is why, and this has happened in old times. I'm from a family of train people. People have jumped out of windows who were mentally instable. So now they're very thick train glasses. You can't jump out, no? But you always jump out of the train of the holy name. That's our unfortunate thing. That's why sometimes devotees weep. Weeping and weeping, I sit in your dham and chant. Acharyas say, why the chanter weeps still? He's sitting in the dham. He weeps because weeps means cries. His mind is going somewhere. Now, how can Bhaktivinoda Thakur make such a claim that simply by chanting, again and again, I need to say, according to the proper method, you can reach the spiritual world? For this, you need to understand a little philosophy. We heard earlier, that comes in the second section, that Krishna has invested all his potencies in the holy name. Yes? Nam namakari bahudaniya sarvasha. Sarva shakti. All shaktis are in the holy names. Therefore, even one can step over Vedic rules of the right place, the right time. Any place is good, any time, because the energies, the inherent energies, will make good the falls. No, so what does this mean? He has placed all his powers in his holy name. This is, my dear devotees, this is a crucial point. And this point is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the second, already in the very beginning of his work. He quotes a verse from Skanda Purana, which Sanatana Goswami is writing down in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the 11th Vilas, 398 to 399. This verse describes to us what an inherent Shakti means. Let us first stop here, however, and understand what is inherent Shakti. A good example is time. Time has a potency. Every one of us is under the rule of time. We can't see time as an energy. We see fingers moving on a, but that's not the time. These things are moved. What is it called? The fingers? Or tell me. Now, what is this? Indicators? Hands. The hands of a wristwatch. You can't perhaps see. They are pushed by springs, not by times. The spring is, it's a long metal thing like this, and it is rolled up in a spiral form. It is placed by the wristwatcher in there, and it moves the hand of the wristwatch. It's not time, but it indicates the most powerful energy in this world, the Kala Shakti, which is inescapable for anyone. Can you see here? It's white. I'm no longer beautiful. I used to be very beautiful. Gone. With old age, we are all under the control of this time. And time brings to us the things we sometimes do not appreciate. No? Yesterday I talked to my godbrother Inder Dumna Maharaj. He says, Maharaj, I said to him, Maharaj, you move so slowly. What is with the dancing Inder Dumna Maharaj? He said, dancing Inder Dumna Maharaj. I have a metal plate this long in my spine now. The hip will need replacement. I said, welcome to the club. My knee goes out at the moment. Time, I am. It's the Krishna God himself comes as Kala. It has an inherent Shakti. And this Shakti is called philosophically Vastu Shakti. Say Vastu Shakti. Vastu means a substance. Another very often used example is fire. Even though you may not know, when you put your hand in the fire, oh, it burns you. It has, again, a Vastu Shakti. So Krishna has placed powers which are there in charity. Have you ever noted when you give with a good intention Lakshmi, you feel very good? Have you noted? It's a very, you feel the Shakti. Who of you fast? No, we are the Hare Krishnas, we don't fast. But sometimes when you fast consciously for spiritual purposes, not because you have to do, otherwise you don't get prasadam. When you fast for spiritual purposes, voluntarily, you will see a clarity in your mind. It has a Shakti. Austerities which you do, like getting up at the Brahma Muhurta time, although you are tired, you will after some time notice this has power. Or here, pilgrimage, Tirtha Yatra, when you go to a holy place, you feel the Shakti. I once asked Radhanath Maharaj, you take 11,000, 12,000, even more people to Vrindavan, to Mayapur, to Jagannath Puri, and South Indian holy places everywhere. Why? So many, it's so uncomfortable. So many. And he said, they are getting Krishna consciousness not just by hearing, they have to feel the potency of the holy Dharma. And with this he was indicating two powerful Shaktis of Krishna which walk around here and which see you, which will touch you. It's the Taraka Shakti. It liberates you from your stuff. And the Paraka Shakti, you feel attracted to Krishna. So all these potencies are also the devatas can give blessings. Saints can give you blessings, no? And all these things, all these potencies, Krishna has collected them. He went to charities, he went to fasting, he went to austerities, he went to pilgrimages, he went to Raja Sudya sacrifices. He came with a huge bouquet of Shaktis and he all put them in the holy name. Would you like to know the verse so that your faith is increased? Done. Dana vrata tapastita yatra dinam chayastita shaktayo deva mahatam sarva papa papa sin hara shubha raja suyasva medanam yanayas yatma vastuna Akrishya harina savastapita sasveshu namasu. Here comes the translation. Auspicious activities like charity, fasting, austerities, pilgrimage, and so on. All these auspicious activities are filled with potencies that are invested in them by the gods and the saints, and are thus capable of destroying all one's previous sins. Now the Supreme Lord has gathered up all these potencies, as well as those found in sacrificial performances like the Ashvamedha and Rajasuya Yagyas. He has also taken the potency which you find in the spiritual element found in the culture of knowledge, and he has placed all this in his own holy names. What do you think? An interesting theory. Up to this moment, it may be an interesting theory for you, but let's not leave it there. My dear devotees, if you learn, this was where we started, to chant properly, the bud, the hidden fragrances which are in the bud, it will come out. Phew, it will open. Bhaktivinoda Thakur raises his hands in the air and says, Krishna himself placed all the powers found in religious duties, sacrifices, yoga, and theological study, jnana, in his holy name. So, summary up till now, I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts the progressive journey of a devotee with faith in the holy name. He will describe some verses that install and convince us and make us faithful. Then he will tell us the sadhana, how we should chant. And he says, it is by chanting alone you enter the train that brings you to the spiritual world, because this has vastu shakti, an inherent potency. My dear devotee, it only works when you have faith. Once there is a little folk story in India. Someone, I forgot, went to Rama and said, I also need to cross the ocean. And Rama, Lord Ram, gave him something. It was like this. Hold this in your hand and you will cross the ocean. So this devotee of Ram went into the ocean and he started to walk on the waters. He went a long, long time and he did not sink. Then he came back to Ram and said, what did you put into this? It was a leaf, not a paper. Ram said, why don't you look? So he opened it. And there was the name Rama. And the devotee thought, what? A name can carry me over an ocean? This can't be. And he went again over the went in the ocean. And as he was in the ocean, he sank. Not to die, but he sank. Didn't work without faith. He had, his faith had crumbled down. No? So this establishment of faith needs some time. The quicker it comes, my dear devotees, the better you are. But the Thakur makes it easy for us. Because when we have faith in something, when we have taste in something, it works. He introduces another element in chanting. I want to introduce it to you. I just need to make sure my here. He said he quotes from the Bhagavan Nama Kumudi work. If your mind is not attached to the infallible Supreme Lord Achyuta, that's me. Do I have any chance? Yes, if your mind is not attached to the infallible Supreme Lord Achyuta, you should shamelessly chant the holy names both day and night. You should do so alone time with Krishna, without fear, conquering sleep, detached from material thoughts. That we learn, no? Whenever our mind is going, what do? We bring it back. Keeping your mind fixed on the goal. This will produce love for Krishna in you. So, this chanting, I wanted to actually say something else. This day and night chanting becomes very pleasing by one method. Elila smaral aga gau Krishna nama Krishna lila prema dana pabe Krishna dam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, remember this pastime and sing Krishna's name. You will attain Krishna's pastimes, love for the divine couple, and finally Krishna's abode. And I want to do this now with you. I want to tell you a pastime which happens at the time when most of us chant the rounds. That's the time from 3:36 a.m. to 6 a.m. Most of devotees chant then. Do you chant at that time? Sleeping. No? Sleeping. Some of us are sleeping. I can only say, my dear devotees, try an early time, even if you try 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, because if you have a whole day's work before you and so many things, the chanting will always be on second place, especially japa, and you will become a japa criminal. Some joke has to be, so a few of you laugh only. That is, you will not, you will make offenses, in other words, against the holy name. So there is a meditation during this time which takes us to what is happening in the spiritual world. At the end of the night, we should meditate on Radha and Krishna as they wake up and leave the forest of Bawa. It is, Radha and Krishna have met in the evening, in the night time, and it's now time for them to go to their homes. Radharani goes either to Yavat or Vashana, and Krishna goes to Nandagram. And when they come to the fork in the road where one of the divine couple goes to in one direction, the other, they are very distraught with misery, feeling the impending separation. Repeatedly, they look back to the other road where the other of the two walks. And Krishna is crying because he's now separating from Radha. And Radha is so distraught with suffering that her companions have to hold her so that she doesn't stumble and fall on the ground and arrives in proper time home. So that scene is happening after something else happened. At the end of the night, Vrindadevi, the goddess of Vrindavan's forest, is in panic. Heavy panic. Because Radha and Krishna don't want to separate. They lie and they are still together and don't want to get up. So she uses the Vrindavan alarm clock. What she does is she prompts the forest creatures to make a great noise. The parrots are making a noise. The birds make a noise, and so on. But there's so much noise. But the divine couple look at each other and they don't want to separate. Then Vrindadevi says the ultimate has to be done. So she informs a female monkey. Have you seen female monkey or old monkeys in Vrindavan? Their face looks very old. Sometimes they have no teeth and they only can chew bananas. Nothing more. They're a little old now. So she calls this old monkey called Kakati. Kakati. She makes a Kakati sound, you know, and she loudly cries, and it is Jatila, Jatila. You know, the mother-in-law of Radha. And this usually works. Radha and Krishna get up and they go. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a song about this pre-dawn pastime. When Vrindadevi sees Dekhiya Arunodaya Vrindadevi vyasta hoy kunjana rav karaila shukasari padya shuni utirad. Ute means get up. Radha nilamani. Radha Rani and Nilamani. Who's Nilamani? Krishna, he looks. Yes, this Nilamani color. Can you see? It is Nilamani. When the sun goes in it, into the stone, it's now dark, but then it begins to shine bluish and very... This is how Krishna shines from outside. Saki ganad, saki ganad deki rishta hoila. So when wind... So we will sing now. Are you with me?
Yes.
I didn't dare to look at you because I didn't want to see the sleeping person at the most important part, you know. What should we say? So what we will do is we will sing kirtan. And I will bring this meditational image before your awareness. And then as you sing, you remember whatever you can remember. Okay? Our Rakesh microphone, please, for the harmonium. What tonality is this, please? And we have to first get into the melody. I have to forget everything now. And so, sit properly, please. This goes up till 1:30, right? Devotees, so nice. We don't have to do anything now. We don't even have to check our mobile telephones for incoming news. We are here in the very good place of Giriraj. We are in the association of devotees, serious devotees, half serious devotees, but wonderful souls. No, everyone is wherever they are, but everyone is glorious. We are listening to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has described to us that the holy name has a Vastu Shakti, and in each pair of the holy name, certain Shaktis are invested. And our task is now very simple. We will just let go and sing. And in the end, after some time, when we have found the melody and we are comfortable in it, we will follow this instruction from the, it's really from the very beginning of the Bhajan Rahasya. Remember this pastime and sing Krishna's name. We will do this. Let us offer our obeisances to Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shemate. When we sing this mantra, we pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relieve us from our burdens. We pray to Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Vastaku, to assist us in pronouncing the divine names. to give us strength, to empower us. For this exercise, it's very easy what you need to do. Bring your mind back repeatedly and at some time you will hear a pastime and remember whatever strikes you. Perhaps what creates a good feeling of attraction in your heart. One more time, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Very good, you chant very nice.
Krishna, oh Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare.
The voice will come in a moment. Hare Ra. No, not you. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Join when the voice is here. Wonderful, wonderful. My dear devotees, this is a mantra which is an address. A certain grammatical form, dative or something. In German it's dativ. So please chant now, addressing Krishna. Calling out for Krishna. You've heard Prabhupada say we should call like a child for the mother, no? As you chant like this, it will be very nice in preparation. Let's do this now. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Our life is now very simple. Shankari. Everyone. They also have something to say. My dear devotees, we have 14 more minutes for this session. If you have any question regarding what you have heard, I would be most honored to try to answer. Hare Krishna. Yes, we have a microphone for you. It's good if it goes in the microphone. like a sheep, wireless microphone? No, huh? No, good. Those who have questions, we have here. Here, Rakesh, here. I think. I see some hands are going up. Perhaps you can come next and so on. You could go already around to go to the microphone. Yes.
When you asked us to meditate on the Nishant Leela, so I tried to bring the stage which is decorated in front of my eyes, but it was very hard to come to that story, because I think that there are some mundane things which I have seen or watched that it can enter into that Leela, and I can just go on imagining. So then I remembered Srila Prabhupada, because we started with the prayers, and then I prayed to you that I can really get into. But I again stopped myself back. I came to the stage backdrop. So I just wanted to understand that how we should enter into this Leela, which is so deep. So I just prayed to the Holy Name, and I was just around. So just thank you.
Thank you very much. We have all understood this. It was difficult for me to enter this Leela. It helped me to remember the backdrop. My dear devotees, this is a practice, an abhyasa. Tomorrow we will hear it's the practice of remembering Krishna. There are a few things we need to learn to not be controlled by our mind, but to tell our mind what to do, and then you will find he's very cooperative. So I have something from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur based on his purport to the 12th chapter of the Gita, text 9. In the beginning of the 12th chapter, Krishna says one should always remember him. But then in the 9th verse, he says, if you can't do this, which for most of us will be something new, you know, our mind is full with old samskaras, old impressions, then there is a practice. And tomorrow I will introduce to you a practice. Let me be very clear here. I will also say this to the posterity, those who hear the tapes, later tapes, or this is recordings now. We are not yet entering Ashtakaliya Leela Smaran. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur is introducing us in this guidebook to this practice, we need to learn many other things before we can do this, and we need to purify our hearts. What we teach here, my dear devotees, very important that if you can now listen, there is Smaran on the level of Vaidhi Bhakti, that is the bhakti where we follow rules and certain methods and so on. We don't enter Smaran or remembrance of Krishna on the level of Raganuga Bhakti at this moment. This is not our purpose. Our purpose is to strictly try to approach the verse which is the essence of all what you do, all the rules and regulations. Those who know this verse, please speak it with me. Smatavyam satatam Vishnu vismatavya na jatu chit sarva vidhi nishedasyo etayo eva kinkaro. Everything which we do is so that we can remember Krishna. We have pictures, paintings, which Prabhupada called windows to the spiritual world, so that we can remember Krishna. We have Krishna book, so that we can remember how he looks, how he is. We have many descriptions in our various literatures. And for the beginning, to train ourselves, we must know how to recall or bring the memory of Krishna into our mind. This is very important. Have you heard our movement? Its name is Krishna Consciousness. What could that mean? Could it perhaps mean that Krishna is in the consciousness? Perhaps. So this we have to learn, my dear devotees. Not that we forget Krishna, but that we remember him as much as possible. There is a method. It is called Mantra Mayi Upasana, which we will hear about tomorrow. Tomorrow I will leave the text for a moment, the Bhajan Rahasya, because I do know that in our movement we have not heard so much about this. And the first hand is always, so difficult. Yes, because it's new. Everything is new is difficult. If I request you to do 10 push-ups, you will fail miserably because it's new for you. For that, it's not so important for ladies to make push-ups, by the way. Don't now do push-ups here. It's good for men for health reasons. It's a good, powerful cardiovascular exercise. But if you don't want to do it, no problem. You will want to do it when you get older, when the body fails you. So anyways, it's a practice to remember Krishna. And it's such a beautiful practice. Krishna says to Arjuna, you have gathered wealth, gold and coins. Now, my dear Arjuna, I request you to gather the wealth of thinking about me. It's so beautiful. It's so necessary. And it is not something very advanced. My dear devotees, first of all, I'm not very advanced. I don't want to speak beyond my qualification. Second of all, this is for beginning. Just do you remember your first round? How absolutely difficult it was? It took maybe 15 minutes. No? Now you can chant around in 7 minutes, 8 minutes. There, it was so difficult. I thought I would never do this. Never manage it. I remember I made my own Japamala, and it took me half an hour to complete one round. And I said, I don't know if I will do this again. Then the next day I was back, and it slowly came down the number. But practice. But to remember Krishna, not forget him, so important. Otherwise, we are not Krishna conscious, but we are conscious of so many other things. And we miss the whole point. There is another devotee, and I'm sorry I've talked a little as if I have eaten a chili, but this is, you can... See, it is very important. I feel it is the next level for many of us, including myself, to remember Krishna throughout our precious small little lifetime. Yes. This will be the last question. Yes.
Thank you so much. When we speak about Adara, we say respectfully chanting. So beyond attention, what does respectfully mean? Like, I understand on one level that I need to give my attention while chanting. That is one level of respect. But beyond that, then I don't understand, like, what would respect mean? What would giving respect to the holy names?
Yes. We will hear about this in the guided japa sessions. So what does respect adarat, this second item for chanting properly, mean? The first is very regularly, that we all know, that we all do. We chant our 16 rounds, and if we are like most of the devotees in our movement, we don't chant 16 rounds any longer. This is a sad fact, because the taste is not there. So because that adarat is not known. So here are points of adarat. If you want to note them down, you will forget them. If you have asked the question, now you know. So first is to give respect. The very first thing is you are attentive. No? You know, when you're with someone and you show an unattentive listening behavior, you do all kinds of things. This is very respectless. The next is addressing the problem of the first question. You have to purify your mind, because if you don't have a pure mind, you will have all the time your Netflix series in your mind while you try to chant. You will have a Hindi Bollywood hit. You know, we Europeans cannot find great pleasure in Hindi Bollywood music, you know. So you will have all this. You have to, and for that you need to also purify yourself externally. That is showing respect. You show up in a clean way, no? Clean shirt, cleanly dressed before you chant. You have your generally you have your bath, you know. Then when you chant, you don't interrupt your chanting, at least around. That is showing reason. Have you been in this awkward situation? You try to meet someone and he gets an incoming phone call, and he takes up the phone and he talks, "How are you doing?" and talks this chit-chat which is really not important. And you think, our conversation is not very important to this person. He's talking so long now about things that can be said any other time. It's not an urgent telephone call. So to not interrupt is there. You have to practice monam, in a sense, that is only the sound of the holy name. Then you progress further. You think about the meaning of the holy name. What is this all about? It's a prayer. Prabhupada's meaning is so deep. Please accept me. I have been absent. Please accept me. Then the next form of respect, you are not hasting, you know, speeding up. When you're in a conversation and what is that? That was the speeded up version of when you're in a conversation and all of a sudden you talk so fast that no one can hear you. I that is what I said. It is very what I tried to say. I don't know if I was successful. We would have to play it very slow and then see. In this way, you will learn six things which help you to practice with adarat, with deep respect. So, in the guided japa session, today was what? Bring the mind repeatedly back when it wanders. No. Good. My dear devotees, we have reached our time. I want to respect this. Just to close this session, at the beginning, when we enter the world of chanting, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur here says, remember this pastime and sing Krishna's name. You will attain three things by doing this. You will attain Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Leela, Premadana, the gift of love, and Krishna Dhamma, Krishna's sacred abode. In the beginning, you may not do this with pastimes of Krishna. You may do it as you will learn tomorrow in the mantra by thinking about a verse, no? And which is invoking a verse. Today Gauranga Darshan has quoted a few typical verses for meditation. I remember Baha Pitam Vata. Say Gauranga Darshan. Baha Pitam Natavara Vapu Kan Kanikaram. No? That verse. No, we will. By the way, we will take that verse most properly, and so on. Good. I want to thank you very much for participating so actively. I'm sorry I cannot take all questions, but perhaps some of the points have been addressed in these questions. Very good questions you have asked. How do we go on? We make now our way back to the Giriraj Dining Hall. What a good name, no? Giriraj Prasad Dining Hall, I think it's called. You will see it. And you can dine. And then you have an extensive pause up to 4:30. I request you to be very punctually for 4:30 in the Hari Kirtan Stali, we call it like this, the big hall where we do everything for Hari Parshad's. I can guarantee you very, very nice lecture. So let us make our way immediately. If you don't feel, how do I get back? Just follow the others. You know, it's like there will be a row of ants walking the ants. So join the row of ants who go to the sweets, you know, to the prasadam hall. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Bol.